الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وبالوالدين إحسانا وبذي القربى واليتامى والمساكين والجار ذي القربى والجار الجنب والصاحب بالجنب. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. For a person to attain closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is essential is that a person adorns himself with akhlaqi hamida and rids himself of akhlaqi razila. In other words, simply put, that a person adorns himself with praiseworthy attributes and removes any and every blameworthy attribute. This is very important. And one khuluq, one quality and attribute that the deen of Islam stresses very much is this khuluq of treating our neighbors well. In the Sharia, there are certain rights of our neighbors. This is a very sensitive topic, and it's a topic on which either a person can attain success, falah, felicity, or if they're not careful about this topic, then this can also ruin that person's life and also ruin that person's akhirah. They can either get sa'adat in this life or they can get shakawat. Both these things are dependent on this topic, which is how we treat our neighbors. And this, like we said, it's a topic which is very sensitive and important, but many of us, we are very negligent and absent-minded about many of these characters, about many of these qualities. However, if you look at the Sharia and the Deen of Islam, then this is something which is very centrally important in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should reflect on how important this is in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, the Prophet has linked this with the very iman of a person. Yani believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having true, complete iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's dependent on this. That's dependent on a person treating the neighbors well. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, this is Bukhari, mentioned Bukhari Sharif, that man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhiri, that whosoever believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and yawmil akhira, fal yukrim jarahu, they should do ikram, they should honor their neighbors. In this hadith, it doesn't mention risalat, it doesn't mention prophethood or prophecy. It doesn't mention other things about iman, the requirements of iman. Only two things are mentioned. That person who has belief, conviction, certainty in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and number two, qiyamah, that person who knows that he has to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that person who knows with certainty that there will be a day where he has to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to show his face to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For such a person, they should do ikram. They should honor their neighbors. If that person honors his neighbors, treats his neighbors well, then his meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be very happy and pleasant. And on the other hand, if he doesn't treat his neighbor well, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at him with that gaze of love. Sometimes you meet other people in this world, they might look at you, you might meet them, but that meeting doesn't go so well. They might look at you in such a way that you know that that person is not happy with me, that person is not pleased with me. In fact, that person is upset and angry with me. So in Qiyamah also, that person who doesn't do ikram, who doesn't treat their neighbors well, that person will not be looked on. That person will not be looked at by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this gaze of love. And there are many other riwayah which mention similar wordings, that that person who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Yawm al-Qiyamah, then they should falyuhsin ila jarihi. They should treat the neighbors well. They should do husn ma'amala. They should interact with the neighbors in a very ahsan, very beautiful way. And fala yu'zi jarahu, that they should not provide any takleef, any difficulty or any worry or any they should not hurt their neighbors. They should not inflict any pain towards their neighbors. And this is something which was stressed so much that once the Prophet ﷺ said that Jibreel ﷺ came upon me so many times emphasizing the rights of neighbors, that I began to think that maybe neighbors would also have a share in our inheritance. That I had that guman. I was thinking that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal that the neighbors should also be given a share, a portion from our inheritance. In other words, inheritance is something which a person shares with their close relatives, with their awlad, with their children, with their parents. And the fact that the Prophet ﷺ had this thought, this guman, that even the neighbors would also be told to have a share in our inheritance, one can only imagine, all of us can imagine, that what is the right, What is how is Deen of Islam looking at the rights of neighbors? How important this aspect is in the Deen of Islam. And in fact, it's not just something which is centrally important in the Deen of Islam, but where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned is its importance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also mentioned the faza'il, also mentioned the virtue, the merits and blessings that a person gets in this life and in akhirah when a person treats their neighbors well, when they discharge those rights and obligations towards their neighbor. So in one hadith, the Prophet mentioned, this is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, that whosoever treats their neighbors well, yani who makes their neighbors happy, do husn suluk with them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that person true in his iman. Takun mu'mina. That this person will become firm in his iman. Allah ta'ala will ignite his iman, will shine his iman, will strengthen his iman, will polish his iman. His iman will begin to sparkle. And this also shows that without discharging our rights towards our neighbors, person cannot get their iman complete. Our iman, the confirmation, the affirmation of our iman is dependent only when we're able to make our neighbors happy. And then the next thing the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, another thing, that whosoever wishes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should love that person, then that person, whenever he speaks, he should speak truthfully. And if someone keeps an amanat with him, he should safeguard that amana. And then number three, that he treats his neighbors well. Same thing. That means that if a person treats their neighbors well, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love that person. This person will become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, another hadith mentions that if we treat our neighbors well, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in our age. That person will have a long life and a fulfilling life, life full of barakah. So these are all benefits that Deen of Islam mentions, not just how important this is, but also the person's iman will become pukhta, will become kamil, their iman will become more polished, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger will love such a person, and in his years here in this dunya there will be more barakah in his life. And then in one riwayah it is mentioned that if a person has three neighbors and all three of them are happy with him. And the word three is mentioned because normally you have one neighbor on your right, one neighbor on your left, and one neighbor behind you. And then in front there's maybe a pathway or road. So the words mentioned three, that if a person has three neighbors, all three of them are happy with this individual, and this person passes away, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the way he used to treat his neighbors, in return Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of his sins. Allahu Akbar. So treating your neighbors well, a person gets this glad tidings of maghfirah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So maghfirah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, muhabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their iman becomes kamil, their iman begins to shine, and there is more barakah in their life in this world. All of these are benefits that a person gets when they treat the neighbor well. And then there is one hadith which is Allahu Akbar Kabira, which gives such a concept that you will not be able to find anywhere else. And this is a hadith where literally it's a very beautiful hadith, but a very ajeeb hadith, that a person, you know, can sacrifice his whole life for the sake of this hadith. And what is this hadith? This is Sahih Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah, He will call a servant and say that, O my servant, I was hungry and you never gave me food. I was thirsty and you never gave me water to drink. I was sick and you never paid me a sick visit. And the servant would be, people would be surprised, he would be stunned that, Ya Allah, You are beyond all these worldly needs. You are beyond food and drink. You are not needy of anything. You are independent. You are a samad. Why is it that you're saying this? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that at that particular time in your dunya, your neighbor was hungry. And if he had fed him food, it would be as if you fed me. And at that point, your neighbor was thirsty. And if you had given him some water to drink, it was as if you gave me water to drink. And at that time, your neighbor was sick. And had you paid him a sick visit, it would be like you paid me a sick visit. Allahu Akbar Kabira. There is no greater concept about the rights of neighbors that you will find anywhere. There's no greater concept that anyone can present to you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you feed him, your neighbor, it's as if you fed me. If you gave him water, it's as if you gave water to me. If you went and paid him a sick visit, it's as if you paid me a sick visit. Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. You know, we read these ahadiths and we should try to understand that how important this is in the deen of Islam. And then in several hadiths, the Prophet ﷺ, he not only mentioned the benefits of treating our neighbors well, but also explained further details about how should we treat our neighbors well. So in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that whenever you cook some salan, some shorba or something like that, some gravy, so you should add a bit more water to that gravy and then give a portion of that gravy to your neighbor. This is such a small thing, that you make salan, you make some gravy, and we're being told to add a bit more water so that we can send something to our neighbors. If you get some fruit, etc., send something to your neighbor. You don't need to send it every day, but occasionally send it to your neighbors. Why? Because that relationship should remain intact. Because that relationship should be refreshed after every few days. Because that love should exist. That love should be alive. So Sharia loves this fact. Then a person is living together in a close-knit society, there should be these relationships that are based on just humanity. People who are your relatives, then relatives, obviously every person wants to treat their relatives well. That's very easy. That's not a big thing. That's not a big deal. But mu'min is that individual who's not looking at his relatives, who's looking at this, the fact that he's just my neighbor. And just the fact that he is my neighbor, there should be some love that I should have for him. He is a part of my community. And the Sharia loves such a person who treats their neighbors well. And normally when we think about neighbors, we might think that right, left, and one person behind. But in the deen, it's much more comprehensive. It includes those people who are immediate neighbors, but it's a bit more, it's broader. The mafhum, the meaning of neighbors is broad neighborhood. And the way the ulama explain this is 40 house on each side. And 40 house on the right, 40 house on the left, and 40 house from behind. And which basically means it's like the whole neighborhood, like the whole community. So that is what the Sharia is teaching us, that a person should be a good member of that community. This is a principle that Sayyidina Rasulullah is explaining to us. And this is how much we should think about others. And you know, if a person follows these teachings of the deen, then our environments will be like Jannah, our communities will be like Jannah. And this is such an amazing concept that you don't find this concept elsewhere outside of Islam. Yes, you know, we do have such concepts that you treat your neighbor well. We have different religions that say, you have different philosophies that say, even outside Muslim countries you will have this. But that concept is very limited in its scope. What you find more or less is that don't create noise, because that noise will disturb your neighbor. And the neighbors might complain. And turn off the lights, switch off the lights, because otherwise the neighbors would complain. You have these the noise hours that you can use your laundry and you can use microwave, But once those noise hours are down, then you should not use these big machineries. Why? Because the neighbors would complain. Don't do this because the neighbors would complain. Don't do that because the neighbors would complain. But you know, that's what you find, more or less. But this is a completely different relationship altogether, different concept that Deen of Islam gives us. That you should have muhabbah, ta'alluq of muhabbah. You should have husn suluk with them. That if you pay them a sick visit, it's as if you paid a sick visit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This concept is, you don't find anywhere else in the world. There was a person who went to live in the West. He went from the East and lived in the West. A young boy. And he was studying. And Allah Kishan, one of his relatives, Mamu, he came to meet him. And his Mamu had an orchard of mangoes. Mother is a very ajeeb makhluk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said to her brother that you are going to meet my son, and I wish that you can take these mangoes for my son and give it to my son on my behalf. The mother, she always wants to send something to eat for her kids. Even though those things might be found there in better quality, but a mother is a mother. So here she sent one carton of mangoes. When that person reached, they opened that carton and they were eating mangoes. So the young boy, he said that I'll send some mangoes to my neighbors. So both right and left, he sent a few mangoes to his neighbors. And while they were eating, after some time there was a knock on the door, and he opened the door and he saw both his neighbors were standing there. And they said that the mangoes that you sent were very delicious, but you forgot to send us the bill of those mangoes. And they were expecting that there should be a price attached to this. And this is and then we have this other muashara, this other environment, this other concept that the Deen of Islam is giving us. That this is part of our iman, this is part of our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's as if you fulfill the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this Islam is very beautiful religion. If a person practices this religion completely, then people complain about their masail, that we have this worry, that we have this problem in our life, issues. It seems as if this whole world is like a masailistan. But the reason is because we haven't completely followed the teachings of the Sharia. The best of us, the people are religious, we have compartmentalized deen. We have deen in one aspect of our life but not the other aspects of our life. And once you compartmentalize, and we do this, this is a very deliberate decision. Wherever we see that there is faida, some benefit, we are willing to do those things. And wherever we see that this goes against my tabia, against my nafs, against my mizaj, against my nature, then we keep those teachings in the corner. We say this is not relevant for me. This part of deen, it's just best, you know, let me keep a safe distance from these things. We have very successfully compartmentalized the deen of Islam. And we're just choosing to follow our version of the deen of Islam. We don't have amal on the kamil deen of Islam. And that's why we have these problems. That's why we have this be-barakati. That's why we have these issues in our lives. Because we have left the complete way of Islam, the complete teachings of Islam, because of which we are mehroom and deprived of the complete barakah of Islam. So in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked the Prophet that, Ya Rasulullah, I have two neighbors, and who should I give hadiyah to? Who's more deserving of my hadiyah? This is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. And the Prophet opened it. You know, just the fact that they used to ask these questions shows us how much aware they were of this khuluq, how important they viewed this characteristic trait. And when she asked this question, the Prophet ﷺ explained that that person who's closer to your door, he has more of a right of that hadiyah. give it to that person. So that person who is closer, distance also matters. He has more haq. And even in Qiyamah, when people will be talking about hukukul ibad, and this whole, the tarazu, the scales will be set up for hukukul ibad, the first questioning that will be between people and individuals will be between neighbors. And this is mentioned in a hadith in Barakah, that on the day of Qiyamah, the first issue, or you can say the first dispute that will be brought to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be that dispute which is between neighbors. So this is something which we have to keep in mind, that we have to treat our neighbors well. Now sometimes a question might come to our mind that what if my neighbor is such a bad person? What if my neighbor is a sinner? What if my neighbor is not even a Muslim? Then what am I supposed to do in this? Even here the Deen of Islam and the Sharia gives us some golden principles. So it teaches us first thing that al-jiranu thalatha, there are three kinds of neighbors, three types of neighbors. First is that neighbor upon whom you have three rights, and you have to discharge three rights to one kind of neighbor. To a second one, you have to discharge two rights. That person has two rights over you. And then a third person, he has one right over you. Three, two, and one. Then that neighbor who has three rights over you is that neighbor who is, number one, your neighbor. Number two, he is also a person of iman, a mu'min or a mu'mina. And number three, that person is your relative. So that's why he has three hukuk, three rights over you. One right is because of his Islam, because he is a person of Islam. Second right is because he is a relative, sila rahmi. And third right is because he is your neighbor. Then that individual who has two rights over you is that person who is, number one, your neighbor, and number two, who is a Muslim. So the fact that he is a Muslim, he has one additional right, and then one right because of the fact that he is your neighbor, two rights. And that neighbor who just has one right over you is that who's just your neighbor. He is not a Muslim, he is not your relative, but that person who is outside the folds of Islam. He could be an unbeliever, he could be some other religion, but he is still your neighbor. And the fact that he's your neighbor, he still has one right over you. Which means that even an unbeliever, if that person is our neighbor, they also have a right over us. And one can just then imagine that if they're Muslims and if they're relative, then all the more how much right would that person have? And that's why the ulama have written that even if your neighbor is a sinner, he's a fasik, he's a fajr, he's an openly commits sins. He openly, and just today someone came to me and said that I have a neighbor who has these throws these parties which are very sinful, and what am I supposed to do? And sometimes we have such situations that openly committing sins, and but they're still your neighbor. So the one thing that Sharia teaches us is that you hate the sin but not the sinner. You hate the sinful activities that person is doing, have nafra and bughz for that. Those activities, this is bughz lillah, this is hatred for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not for that individual, not for that sinner. Because for the sinner you need to have some taluk. And if that person is your neighbor, then all the more. You have certain rights that you need to discharge towards your neighbors. You have hukuke wajiba. You have wajib obligatory rights upon you that you have to discharge. And you can try, you know, you should try to, you know, salam, and inshallah we'll speak about some of those rights, but you should still discharge your rights towards the other person and try to soften that person's stance, and maybe you can pressurize that person to leave that sinful activity. That's fine. Sharia gives us the permission that when you see certain thing which is openly committing sins, you can pressurize them in different ways to give up that sinful activity. But that doesn't mean that you're supposed to sever your ties of neighborhood with them or not give them their right as a neighbor. We're still supposed to, even if they're sinning, even if they're a fasik, even if they're a fajr, even if they're unbelievers, they're still, you know,
their actions are between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what is between us and them is that they are neighbors. And even if they're Christians or Jews, we're still supposed to have ties with them. We're still supposed to give them their rights as neighbors. We're supposed to treat them well. This is what you find in the lives of many of our akabreen, many of our salaf salihin. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh was a very big muhaddis, and in his he had a neighbor who was a Jew, and the Jew was selling his house. The buyer who came to buy that house, he said that, "How much are you selling this for?" The Jew replied that, "I'm going to sell this for 2,000 dirham." So the buyer asked that, "You know, this is a bit too much, because in this neighborhood, a similar house like yours sells for roughly 1,000 dirham. So why are you charging me twice that amount?" So the Jew, he replied that, "Yes, the price of this house is 1,000, but I'm charging the extra 1,000 for the fact that this house is in the Puros, it's in the neighborhood of Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh. It's a house which is adjacent to Abdullah ibn Mubarak. Once upon a time, when we used to be true Muslims, the houses which used to be in our neighborhood, their price used to increase because of us. Their price used to increase because of our khuluk, because of our attributes, our virtue and nobility." These are the ta'limat that Deen of Islam has brought for us. Once Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi was a tabi, he said that, "I was sitting with Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and his ghulam, he was sacrificing a goat. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said to his helper, servant, that when you are done sacrificing this goat, first send a portion to our neighbor," and his neighbor was a Jew. "Give it very zarur," I'm saying with a lot of emphasis, that you must give it, you first must give it to our Jew neighbor. And he repeated the sentence 3 times. And there was one person who was also in that gathering, he said that, "Why are you mentioning this 3 times? You know, you just mentioned once, isn't that enough?" And then Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar he said that, "I have heard from the Prophet so much taqeed, there's so much emphasis from the Prophet about fulfilling the rights of our neighbors, that we used to think that once we pass away, our wirasa, our inheritance will be shared with our neighbors. So the fact that I've heard this so much from the Prophet, I want to be sure that we discharge our rights properly." So even with unbelievers. And for us, then, many of us, alhamdulillah, we happen to have people, neighbors who are, if nothing other, Muslims, and many of us may be relatives. One can imagine then how much husnul khulq, how much ikram, and how much honor, and how much mehna and effort we should make in treating them well. And at the same time, if a person thinks that I'm doing lots of nafil ibadah and they're ghafil and they're not so careful about this aspect, then perhaps their ibadah will not be able to benefit them. Their ibadah will not be complete and wholesome for them. In one hadith, the Prophet explained the Prophet was told by a sahaba that, "Ya Rasulullah, there is a person, a lady, an old lady, tasumun nahar, she fasts during the day, wa taqumul layl, and she prays nafil salah throughout the night. However, wa tu'zi jiranaha, she is a source of discomfort, taklif, iza, hurt for her neighbor." The Prophet said, "Hiya min ahlin nar," that this woman, she is from Jahannam. Allahu Akbar. She is praying the whole night, the hajjat. Entire day she is fasting. But because she was not able to control how her tongue, control her tongue, and she used to use her tongue to provide eza, inflict pain towards her neighbors, the Prophet is saying about her that she is from among the people of Jahannam. And on one occasion, the Prophet he swore thrice that I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that person is not a believer. And then again, I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that person is not a mu'min, is not a believer. And then again, third time, that I swear by Allah ta'ala that person is not a mu'min. So the Sahaba asked that, Ya Rasulullah, who is not a mu'min? And the Prophet said, that person whose neighbor is not in aman from his bad habits, whose neighbor is not protected from his bad habits. This is three times the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by Allah ta'ala. And today we are so ghafil, sometimes we don't even know the names of our neighbors. We don't even know who's living left or right. And we think that, you know, why should I care? It's just a self-centric life, egocentric life. We don't care about other people. And this is, again, regardless of the fact that how the neighbors treat us, we are supposed to do achai, we are supposed to do goodness with them. Same thing with Sula Rahmi. We mentioned earlier that once a Sahabi came and said that, Ya Rasulullah, I do Sula Rahmi. I join ties with my relatives, but they sever ties with us. I do bhalai, goodness with them, but they reply with malice, with fights, with disputes. So the Prophet said that as long as you continue to do goodness with them, you will have the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with you. Yani Allah will be your helper. And same thing about the rights of neighbors. It's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person whose neighbor is a bad person. Bad here means that person, the neighbor, he harms him. He creates problems for this person. He provides taklif to this person. However, when he receives any such thing from his neighbor, فَيَصْبِرُ عَلَىٰ أَذَاهُ. This person has sabr. He just patiently endures the hardship inflicted upon him by his neighbor. وَيَحْتَسِبُهُ. And he is hopeful in the mercy of Allah, in the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is hopeful about the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sabr and hopeful. Then يَكْفِيَهُ اللَّهُ بِمَوْتٍ أَوْ حَيَاتٍ. And he continues in such a manner until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala either becomes enough for that person or that person passes away. So that person who leads such a life where he's on the receiving end from his neighbor is not a good person, but he's receiving end, but he receives it with sabr, with hope in the mercy, hope in the reward of Allah, reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves such a person. Allah is muhabba for such a person. Now then this question comes up that what are the rights of neighbors? So here there is a very beautiful hadith which mentions there's once a Sahabi who narrates this. He says that Qultu Ya Rasulullah Ma Hakku Jari Alayya. That I asked the Prophet that what are the rights of neighbors upon me? So that's our question. Qala, the Prophet said in Mariza Uttahu, that if your neighbor falls sick, then you should pay him a sick visit. Wa in Mata Shayatahu, that if your neighbor passes away, you should participate in his namaz-e janaza, salai janaza, salatul janaza. Wa in istaqrazaka aqraztahu, and if your neighbor requests you for some kind of loan or a karza, then you should try to, if it's possible, try to give him a loan, give him a qarz-e hasana. وَإِنْ عُرِّيَ سَتَرْتَهُ. And if your neighbor doesn't have any clothes to wear, then you should provide him with clothing. وَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ هَنَّأْتَهُ. And if your neighbor receives some good news, something good happens in his life, then you should congratulate him. You should greet him, congratulate him, share your happiness with him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ مُصِيبَةٌ عَزَّيْتَهُ. And if some musiba or some difficulty reaches your neighbor, then you should try to remove that difficulty. Try to remove that person's suffering and worry.
وَلَا تَرْفَ بِنَاءَكَ فَوْكَ بِنَائِهِ فَتَسُدَّ عَلَيْهِ الرِّيحَ.
And you should not build the wall of your house in such a way that you block the flow of air from that person's house, from your neighbor's house. And you don't build your wall so high that you actually stop that air or stop wind from reaching your neighbor's house. And then the last thing the Prophet said,
وَلَا تُؤْزِهِ بِرِيهِ قِدْرِكَ إِلَّا أَن تَغْرِفَ لَهُ مِنْهَا.
And you should not provide him taklif with whatever you cook. Don't cause him distress by what is cooked in your house, except that whatever is cooked in your house, you send some portion of it to your neighbor. So this is a very beautiful and comprehensive hadith which explains to us some of the rights that we should be careful about when we deal with our neighbors. So that's why the ulama have mentioned that the rights of neighbors is that whenever they're in some difficulty, we should try to remove their difficulty. If they are needy of some money or some qarz, some loan, if we have that istita'at, we should try to provide them with that loan. If they are needy generally, we should try to go to their house and try to remove that person's suffering and grief as much as possible. If they fall sick, we should go pay them a sick visit, iyadat mariz. If they require some help, we should be available to help them. If some musiba or some disaster, some trial reaches them, bad thing happens to them, we should be there as a source of support and solace for them. We should express our sympathies, our consolation, give them tasalli when times are bad. When you hear about something good that happens to them, you should share with them in their happiness, congratulate them, give them mubarakbad. And if they pass away, then we should participate in their salatul janaza. And once they're on travel, maybe the person is not home, they're traveling, then we should protect their mal, their wealth, their house, and the people living in that house. So these are the teachings of our deen. And our aslaf and akabareen, they're very careful about these teachings.
There's a story mentioned about a pious person by the name of Hazrat Abdullah bin Tahir rahmatullah alayh. Once he heard that someone came to his neighbor's house and they said to the neighbor that we want to buy your house, and they were saying that we are willing to offer you any price for your house. So the neighbor, she was a woman, she said that I can sell you my house, but I cannot sell you the fact that this house is in the neighborhood of Abdullah bin Tahir rahmatullah alayh.
Yani the fact that my house is lies adjacent to Abdullah ibn Tahir, this is priceless. There's no price for this. And because of this, my neighbor, I don't want to sell my house. I cannot sell my house. So when Abdullah ibn Tahir rahmatullahi heard this, that person went away, and Abdullah ibn Tahir approached this woman and said that, explain to me your situation. Why did this person came to buy your house? And she said that I'm very needy, but I cannot sell this house because I have you as my neighbor. So he called that woman and said that, okay, tell me how many children do you have? And she said that my husband passed away, I'm a widow, and I have four daughters. And then Abdullah bin Tahir rahmatullah, he went out and searched for a suitable proposal for those four daughters. And he gave, he found a suitable proposal for those four daughters, and he gave a lot of wealth, his own wealth, to each daughter at the time of Rukhsati. And at that zaman, in that time period, when 1 dinar used to be very precious, he gave 100,000 dinar to every daughter at their nikah. This is called fulfilling the rights of your neighbor. That he became like a father, and he went about searching suitable proposal and then giving them wealth so that they could be well off. Our Kaprian used to be very careful about this, and they were such beautiful neighbors. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us such beautiful neighbors, and may Allah ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to become such beautiful neighbors for our neighbors. And then inshallah we can hope and we can make dua to Allah ta'ala that Allah, if we try to fulfill our rights of neighborhood in this world and we can try to be good to our neighbors, then perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can accept this amal from us and make this a means of not just entering into Jannah but also granting us the neighborhood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ta'ala can make us inshallah the neighbors of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in return for our actions here. So these are the ta'limat. In summary then, these are the teachings of our Sharia, that the Sharia wants us to be careful about our neighbors, irrespective of the fact whether they have iman or not, or irrespective of the fact whether they are relatives or not. We should still give them their rights. They have rights over us, and we should do husne suluk with them. And inshallah, if we do husne suluk with them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love us for that act. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us for our sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakah in our age. Allah ta'ala will strengthen our iman. And inshallah, in qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are hopeful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us the neighborhood of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannah. So we make dua that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to act on these teachings. May Allah Ta'ala include our names among those people who are pleasing to Him. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان ربي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب من يقربنا إليك اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين